Well, I think it does start, Zach. It starts at the hiring process, and you have to kind of swim way upstream when you're making sure that you're bringing on associates that carry your value system. And if you're hiring on your values, generally everyone is rowing in the same direction. Sometimes you'll get, get an oar out of place here and there, but for the most part, you'll get the people that believe in why we started the company.
What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined by Sean Taylor, who has 20 years in the hospitality space, is CEO of Up to Par Management and Taylor Hospitality, which manages clubs, hotels, resorts, restaurants, and hospitality venues, and is an incredible thought leader on leadership thoughts. So, Sean, thanks for joining us, man.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Definitely appreciate being on the podcast and learning a little bit more.
Yeah. So first of all, tell me a little bit about why did you start Up to Par and Taylor Hospitality? I know you have you've been a golf pro. You were at the Duke University at some other resorts. I know that you're an incredible golfer. So was this just a way for you to get on the course more? Like, why did you?
Well, you know, it's funny. The old adage, the old joke is that if you in the golf business, if you want to stop playing golf, just get into the golf business. And that's really falls true. You know, we do manage clubs and golf courses and hotels and restaurants. And the last time I actually teed it up was about 3.5 years ago. So yeah, it's been crazy. So once you start running them, it's kind of like working in an ice cream shop. The last thing that you want to do is eat ice cream. And so, but I do love golf, still love being around golf, still love everything, all the people that are associated with it and all the relationships that we have for it. And it's definitely a big part. You know, I think the driving force for me to start the company was really going through, I had some time there at the Duke University Golf Club, led the operations there. And while I was there, I was part of Duke Athletics. And I think that, being in that environment where excellence is just carries on every single day, whether it's the coaches that you meet, the professionals that are within that space, that really had a forming effect on me. And then as I moved from other positions of moving from whether it's another resort to another resort, I honestly saw some things that I really did not like, and saw things how organizations were run that were almost counterintuitive to each other, and felt like there could be a better way of going about doing that. And that back in 2009, right at the height of the recession, when everything was going sideways, kind of like right now, I stuck my life savings, stuck it there in the middle, and really I was at a point in my professional career where I didn't like a lot of the decisions that were happening in such a negative way to the people, the workforce that was at a particular resort that I was working at, that they were making such poor decisions that was impacting the workforce and impacting the people. And I knew all the stories that were associated with all of these layoffs over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And it really, I know the big guy upstairs didn't stick me on the earth to do that.
Yeah.
And so, I put some faith in myself and in the ability, and took my life savings and said, let's start something on our own. And then we started hiring managers. And then we really went out. We originally started out as a sales and marketing firm and scaled And then the more that we were in the sales and marketing, the more our clients really asked us to manage their properties. And so that's how we kind of pivoted into the management side of things. And so here we are, we're 11 years into it and we're doing great. We, you know, this year has been a big pill of learning because of all of the pandemic, and it's had an incredible impact. Not a great impact, but an incredible impact. And we've learned from it. We're getting better in the process to be able to move forward and to grow continually.
Yeah. And one of the things that obviously you're managing a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that you're managing who are working from, you know, and all kinds, right? Gardeners to head chefs.
Yeah.
They're all in your purview. So as people are starting to, you know, everyone's hiring back more people now.
Right.
What is the best way, in your opinion, as a leader, as someone who's like setting these standards of excellence, what is the best way to set them up for success in this new environment?
Well, I think it does start, Zach, it starts at the hiring process. And you have to kind of swim way upstream when you're making sure that you're bringing on associates that carry your value system. And if you're hiring on your values, generally everyone is rowing in the same direction. Sometimes you'll get, you know, get an oar out of place here and there, but for the most part, you'll get the people that believe in why we started the company. You know, the people that believe in, you know, hard work does equate to something, does equate to success. You can do it. You can work hard, but you got to do it in a caring fashion. And when sometimes, you know, we kind of color outside of the lines with that, it's a way in where we can remind them of what our value systems are and being honest. And our values really kind of stem around what we call echo teamwork. And so we hire on teams that can execute, teams that are very caring, teams that are honest and hardworking. That's what the H stands for, and that they take ownership. They take ownership of their role, but then they take ownership of the property and the guest that's right there in front of them. And they know that, you know, that it revolves around teamwork. So to set them up for success, the first things first is that you got to hire them into the right culture. If all of a sudden you're putting a round peg in a square hole, they'll never be successful. They'll never be successful within your group. So, if there's a misalignment right out of the gate, then it generally shows its ugly head within the first 60 to 90 days of employment. Now, if there is an alignment, then you know what, we're doing well. Then it's we have an online hospitality training platform that we launched this past year, that is critical for our management team, that's critical for all of our associates, so that when they get into the operations, that they're not training on our guests, that they've actually done the training behind the scenes. So when the guest is right there, you know what, they know all of our protocols, they know all of our service standards, they know over all of our processes. And that's actually incredibly important, so that, you know, that first guest is going to be like the 50th or the 75th or the 125th guest that they've interacted with, that they know what is expected from us as an organization. And then they also know really what's expected from them as well. So
yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And in terms of, you know, you're talking about these values, and I like that, the execute, caring, hardworking, ownership, and all around
revolving teamwork. Around a teamwork, echo teamwork, we call it.
I love that. And I know that, you know, especially with ownership, I know you guys use the Racy model.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Which is you know, absolutely essential, something that we use at Ovation as well. Because it's so key. And for those of you, do you want to quickly explain Racy for those who may not know what it is?
Sure.
It's not as sexy as it sounds. It's not a real Racy.
No, but it's good. It gives clarity. When we say that one of the aspects is assigning responsibility, and that may be, that's what the R stands for, responsibility. Like, you're responsible for the task that you have at hand. And so with that, you may be the doer. You're the one who's actually doing the task. And then ultimately you have somebody, all of us have bosses. You have somebody that's accountable for those particular results. And so you may have multiple tasks that you have the accountability, but you're actually not the one who's executing the task. So that's what the A stands for, accountability. And then C stands for how do you need to communicate? Communicate whether it's the processes, communicate the standards. How does that get communicated across the board? And it's funny you bring up Racy, because I just had another gentleman who's in my LinkedIn group who really, he viewed I as different. He viewed I as being informed, mm-hmm. You're informing people. We view it that who else do I need to get involved with to make sure that this gets done right? So even though I may ultimately have the responsibility to do it, sometimes there's so many different tasks that are out there that you need multiple team members to participate and collaborate on. And so who else do I need to involve? So we do that on our senior team. We do that at our properties. We take all of the different functionalities that are necessary to run one of those particular properties. And we make sure that we assign the responsibility and accountability across the board to all the team members. So at the end of the day, they know what they have to do, and I think that's a part of job satisfaction. Like, what's the rules? Yeah. What do I need to do? And tell me, can I step here? Can I not step here? If I'm out of bounds, how do I get the ball back in bounds and move it down the field? So it works really well for us. Some organizations I know it's not applicable to, but for us, it's really helped us.
Yeah. Cause a lot of times lines get really blurred. Yeah. Right. And people start stepping on toes. And so, especially working at a big organization. Yeah.
Yeah. They start pointing fingers at each other. I thought that you were doing that. I thought you were doing that. So,
yep.
They do. They get very blurred.
And so as we get some clarity around, clarity around responsibilities and roles and what's assigned, there's the flip side of it, which is the customers, right? Mm-hmm. And so what do you think, how can hospitality groups prepare for the new normal?
That is a great question, because it's changing every 10 minutes.
Exactly, right?
It's when I really applaud our group, because we as a senior group, we sat down and this was back in February. Where we sat down and we're like, okay, what is this? And it wasn't even in the news or anything. And we're like, we really need to keep our eye on what the heck is happening. And then it got to the point where our senior group meets weekly. And then by the third week in February to the fourth week in February, we knew that we needed to act. We knew we needed to act quickly. We knew we needed to do things fast. We began to meet daily on what was happening, what was our game plan, because you could go into a day on the beginning of the day at 8 o'clock, and by 12 o'clock, your day is turned upside down.
Yeah.
For an example, we had roughly 450 employees. We've laid off 275 of those associates. And so we're in the process of hiring those associates back. I think from a customer standpoint, what are some of the things that you're going to start to see out of the new normal? I would say in hospitality in general, in our restaurants and our hotels, curbside is here to stay. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. I think you're going to have, what are you doing in your restaurant? What are you doing in curbside? I think that's going to be a new normal. And somehow there's a way in which you can attach, a mobile application a la not like a DoorDash or a Grubhub or something like that, or where those food delivery services are upside down financially. They're so unprofitable for them. And eventually their investors are going to get tired of investing in those in those platforms because they don't make any money. That, you know, and so what are the individual operators going to do with that app at that part of it? Because that's going to remain, I would venture to guess that that's going to remain 30-35% of the food industry's business in restaurants. I think that that's going to be going forward. I think in some of the hotel side of it, the elaborate breakfasts that, you know, everybody was competing on the lousy waffle that you get at some of these places, you know, the lousy waffle and the lousy oatmeal that looks like it's been there for about 14 years. Uh-huh. And oranges and stale, you know, and rotten bananas. I think that's going to go away. You know, I do. I think it's going to be more individualized. You're going to come up with some sort of to-go breakfast that a guest will take. Going forward, unless you're doing like full a la carte breakfast, you know what I mean? Where you're going in, it's a breakfast restaurant. It could be a breakfast diner, breakfast, something where you're offering that in the hotel.
I don't know. I got to say, Sean, I love those button pancake machines, you know?
Oh, man. I don't know. You're definitely in the minority with those. You know,
I just use it as a vehicle for syrup, really. Is that
right? That's right. Well, you know, if you keep them outside for a day, you can use them as a hockey puck.
That is true.
So, with the amount of preserves that are in there, put one of those waffles outside and let's see if the thing decomposes. those are things that I think that we're going to see. In like the group aspect, I do believe we're going to eventually get back to group travel. It's probably going to be, honestly, it's probably going to be at least to the first or the second quarter of 2021. All of our precursors are saying that we're going to see a pretty strong rebound in the third and the fourth quarter as far as travel going across the board. So we're seeing that in all of our models that are out there. The third and fourth quarter are going to pick up to the point where maybe we're only like, I would say 20-25% down of last year's actuals.
Q4 this year, you're thinking travel is going to get up to that high.
Yeah, I think we'll see where we're only down about 25%, 20-25% year over year, meaning like this November will be about 20% less than last year's November. So
I've already got a trip planned for Thanksgiving. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah. You know, people are really wanting to get out. I mean, we're seeing it in the wineries and the breweries. We have a lot of wineries and breweries here in Virginia. Virginia loves its alcohol. So, you know, when you go to a winery, it's almost overwhelming the amount of people that are at the winery. So we're seeing that aspect of the business pick back up because, you know, it's outside. And any kind of like in the club space, outdoor dining, the outdoor space is absolutely critical for a club to invest in for its future success. If a club doesn't have outdoor sitting area, they have to figure out what area of the club that they convert into an outdoor sitting area and then figure out how they can get food and beverage to it. Because what we're seeing is that the golf courses are doing really well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I love that. And I think those are some really interesting macro trends that I think ring really true to the things that I've seen. Yeah. So Sean, any last pieces of advice for listeners, viewers?
On anything in particular?
You know, what do you feel like would be an important message for them to hear?
Well, I think for me personally, going back to Well, you asked the question of hiring the setting up your teams. For companies that are out there and leaders of those companies, the value system is so important that you hire people that mirror those values that your company has put out, because then ultimately you're hiring people that you want to be around. And we all spend so much time, at work and with the people that we work with. If you don't enjoy that time with them, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
You really have to like the people that you work with, because like it or not, I mean, if you look at the earth is 6 billion years old and man has been on earth for less than 100,000 years, and so when you look at that and how long that you're on this side of the dirt instead of the other side of the dirt, you got to enjoy the people that you're with, because if you're not, boy, it goes way too fast. So, like the people you're with and like the company that you're working with, and, like the fact that you are going to a place that you enjoy, because if you don't like it, don't go. Find someplace else that you'll like.
I love that. So here's my key takeaways. One, bring on people that have your values. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a written statement of values, write it down.
You got to do it. Yeah.
You got to do it. Right. And I love yours, Sean. Execute, caring, hard work, and ownership revolving around teamwork. Don't necessarily think you have to steal that, but that's
right. That's okay. It's all right.
Two,
it's out there.
Reduce the job training by having training before they get to that first customer. I love that idea. As opposed to just a lot of times it's so easy just to do on the job training, hire them, show up, and just let them figure it out.
Yeah.
Three, utilize the RACI model, RACI, look it up if you want to read more about that. Four, changes, some trends that are going to stay. Curbside, breakfast is going to be going away. Hopefully not, because if you ever run out of plates, you could use those pancakes as a plate. traveling is opening back up, and outdoor seating is going to be essential. And lastly, I love that piece of advice. If you don't like it, don't go there. Find people around you that you like working with. Life is short, and it certainly is beautiful. Sean, how can people find and follow you or your brands?
Sure. We have several websites. It's Up to Par Management. The Up to Par Management is where all of our club side is. And then Taylor Hospitality is where all of our hospitality properties are. So, and we're always looking for great people. We are always looking for great people. When we find great people, we figure out how we can get them on our team. So even if we don't have a role, we may have a role in a couple of months. So give us a ring. We do have a recruitment firm that's in our group, Up to Par Recruitment, that we do recruiting. We help hospitality professionals all across the country find great roles and then also bring them into our organization as well. And then if you're on LinkedIn, reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn/Sean. That's Sean, S-E-A-N, like Sean Connery. Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. So
awesome. Well, Sean, today's ovation goes to you, man, for helping bring everyone else up to par. Appreciate you and what you're doing, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.